The current pandemic has had a significant socioeconomic impact on vulnerable communities, and there is a greater need now than ever before to support social housing through federal allocations, according to affordable housing researcher Dr. Katrina Rayner.
What's the problem with Australia's social housing system and then the connection to COVID? Because I think that COVID has shown us that our social housing system is horrifically underprepared and under-resourced for what's happening right now. But I don't think that's necessarily a reflection of COVID so much as it's a reflection of the fact that we've had, you know, 3 decades of underinvestment in social housing, which means that the proportion of housing that exists in our system, that is social housing, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And we're spending less and less money on maintaining it or producing more housing. So it's just a system that progressive governments, I mean consecutive governments rather, have failed to invest in. And that's why we're seeing problems now, because our housing is poorly designed, poorly maintained, and there's just not enough of it.
Social housing does not get enough attention from the government, as people care more about the prices of houses and the housing market rather than the lack of investment in social housing, according to Dr. Rayner.
To go back to where we stopped investing on a large scale in social housing, it happened near the end of the 80s. When you had, you know, Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan, this, you know, birth of an idea that the government should have less involvement in social services and a greater focus on the importance of the market for solving social issues or the market for responding to the needs of a population. As I think it's a part of a bigger political movement towards reduced government involvement in social welfare. So I think that's the large answer to that question. I think on a more micro scale, the other reason is just that it doesn't get votes. You know, people care about house prices broadly. People care about first home buyers and being able to get onto the property ladder. But I think that it's become less and less sexy to talk about social housing. And so political, you know, governments don't focus on it as much. And we're seeing the poor outcomes of that now.
Support for social housing is said to not only enhance the livelihood of many individuals who rely on it, but also improve the economy through creating jobs and allowing individuals to better invest their money in other aspects of their lives without the financial burden of housing cost.
We invest in building housing, and then we're creating jobs. We're creating jobs in the construction industry. We're creating jobs that support the construction industry. You know, after the global financial crisis, the Rudd government put something like $5.5 billion into a social housing initiative, and it created something like 14,000 full-time equivalent jobs. So from an economic perspective, a large-scale investment in social housing would get us building dwellings that we desperately need straight away. So that's really great for the economy. The other side of that is that we have this really, really massive waiting list of people who are in extreme housing stress or at risk of homelessness or homeless, waiting to get into social housing, who can't do it because there's just no stock. You know, moving people in those really precarious positions into safe, secure housing also has massive benefits for the economy, because now they can start to spend more money on food and education and leisure activities because they're no longer struggling to exist and to be safely housed. And then, of course, there's a massive quality of life, health and well-being impact of people who are in really stressed housing situations, you know, moving into more secure situations.
With the pandemic having an impact on vulnerable communities, it is crucial that there is significant investment into the maintenance and design of social housing to ensure safety and well-being for the residents.
There is a problem in that a lot of the housing, social housing that exists was built in the 60s, in the 70s and the 50s, and it's now aging, and we haven't invested enough in maintaining it. So there is a massive amount of our housing stock that's really poor quality, that has, you know, big issues in terms of thermal comfort, in terms of being an enjoyable place to be, and in terms of not being overcrowded. So I think there's definitely challenges around the design in that aspect. But then on the flip side, there's other parts of our social housing system, particularly some of the newer stuff that we've built, that's really beautiful, that's really high quality, that's well maintained, that is producing great communities and great homes, and it's really wonderful. So I think it really depends where you're living and what you're living in. A big proportion of social housing, although less than 50%, are small apartments. And absolutely, I think what we've seen from the lockdowns in Melbourne is that that was a really horrible situation. And it would have been very, very stressful for the people living in those homes, many of whom are living in really overcrowded apartments. I think those homes would have been very, very challenging places to live in a COVID situation. And again, you know, it's partially a reflection of the time period in which we built these homes, that they don't stay warm very well in winter and they don't stay cool very well in summer. We can't expect any change unless there's massive investment from the federal or the state government. You know, we've been doing the same thing for 3 decades now, and what has been happening is a continuing decline in the amount of social housing that's available to people. And it's not sustainable, and it's not world best practice, and it's something that we need to do something about right now, regardless of whether it's politically sexy or not. The main thing I want to say is just a plug for the fact that this is incredibly important social infrastructure that has benefits for everyone.